This word, Delphus, is translated over 100 times as brother. For example, Peter and James, his brother, Matthew 4:18. James and John, his brother, Matthew 17:1. When we read this word, brethren, as used in all the epistles, we can now see exactly what the word means. They are not spiritual brethren. They are kinsmen. They are all Israelites. In no way can they be fellow believers from all non-kinsmen races. We will be looking at this again in the chapter Seeds Natural and Spiritual. These are the ones who are told to look unto the rock when ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit when ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and to Sarah that bare you, Isaiah 51:1-2. This limits the scope to those who came from Abraham and Sarah. Abraham was the rock, Sarah was the pit. Isaac, hearing faith, and freeborn sons. All that will be said here is that, again, we have in Galatians 4:29 what was mentioned earlier about born of the Spirit. This is the allegorical equivalent of the anointed people being conceived, containing that Spirit. Those people could remain under the law or come under grace. They are the same people who began under the law, Galatians 3:3. They were able to subject themselves either to the works of the law or to the hearing of faith, Galatians 3:5, and to become righteous through hearing, believing, and doing what God asked, as Abraham did. They were never justified just because they were born Israelites. The term freeborn sons that some use is used to suggest that somehow this can refer to other than Israelites. Acts 13:39, and by him, that is Jesus, all that believe are justified from all things, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. The Apostle Paul was talking again about the fulfillment of the promises that had been made to the fathers of Israel as those people who had been given the law of Moses. Law and grace are in an issue to Israel only. The Edomite leaders of the Judean nation thought that physical birth gave them the right status with God when they protested that Abraham was their father. But Jesus made it clear to them that they were not Abraham's children. In John 8:37, we can see that there is a difference between Abraham's seed and Abraham's children. Jesus said to them, "Ye cannot hear my words." Likewise, Ishmael, who was born after the flesh, could not and cannot hear. He is cast out. The linear descendants through Isaac could still be fools and be slow of heart to believe. They could be deceived or be bewitched. The truth is to be obeyed. Jesus has been evidently set forth crucified among you. Paul was specific as to whom he was addressing. It is these Israelites who have to choose, not other races. James 2:21-22 was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? Note in this section of the book of James about faith and works, the hour in Abraham our father is written unto 12 tribes, James 1:1. Be fair here. Where is it declared that this was written to anyone else? He begat us with the word of truth, James 1:18. Where is it written that he begets any other than Israelites by the word of truth? In thee shall all nations be blessed. But what does that mean? Galatians 3:7-9. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached or proclaimed before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. And it's only the Israelites who are blessed with faith. For faith must come from God and the Holy Spirit, not something you can connive. This verse, together with the verses below, are favored by universalists because they seem to present a universal gospel for all races. Nations is sometimes translated emotively as heathen to try to add weight to the universal argument. To understand any passage of Scripture, it is necessary to look at it as a whole by going back to the prophecy behind it to see what it is fulfilling. So let's look at this one, to Abraham, Genesis 12, 2 and 3. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Genesis 18, 18, see that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Genesis 22, 18, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. To Isaac in Genesis 26, 3, sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath that I swear unto Abraham thy father. And then to Jacob, Genesis 28, 14, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Excuse me. To Israel, Psalm 22, 27, all the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nation shall worship before thee. Here are six important verses which are used to support the doctrine of universal racial salvation. Indeed, they do appear to give valid support on the surface. But do they actually say what the religious translators make them say? Is this the problem here? The families of the earth being blessed in Abraham. The major source of error in these blessing passages is what we mean by certain words. We have different words translated as earth and the ground, countries, and the land, as also occurs with the words translated nations, families, and kindreds. Although an extensive technical Hebrew language exposition is beyond the scope of this book, there are things that need to be pointed out. Originally, Abraham was told to go from his father's house unto the Eretz, that is, the earth, that God would show him. If Eretz here is the whole earth, then Abraham must have gone to another planet. Abraham was told, all the earth which thou seest, I will give thee. He was told to arise and walk through the earth. Did he walk across the whole globe? So we have to ask if this earth is the whole earth or the promised land. It is not all the Eretzes of all the races of earth. Abraham was told to get himself out of his present earth and go to the earth. There are many references which give confirmation of the meaning. The earth does not mean the whole globe, but rather that portion belonging to the particular area or person under consideration. Contrary to popular presentation, we must note that in Genesis 12:3, the word them, in I will bless them, is plural, whereas the him, in I will curse him, is singular. The Hebrew allows for two possible translations to be blessed, namely, may be blessed in or by association with thee, and may bless themselves, as the RV footnote says. Some awkward questions could be posed here if it was to be taken that all nations had the meaning of every race on earth. If those who curse Abraham are cursed, how could those be cursed be put part of the all nations which were to be blessed? Were the Egyptians blessed or cursed through Israel's presence during their captivity and also in the Exodus? When the children of Israel went into the Promised Land, they were told to exterminate all the Canaanite nations. Was not that an unusual way of blessing the Canaanites? After all, they were supposed to be a part of all nations. Likewise, Amalek was to be exterminated. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 23:6, God commanded Israel that they should not seek the peace or the prosperity of the Ammonites and the Moabites, right up to the end of the age. Ezra 9:12 says, indicates similar treatment of the non-Israelites in the land. There is hardly a blessing on those nations, is it? When the house of Judah was in captivity in Babylon, is there any evidence of Israel being a blessing to Babylon? When the house of Israel was in captivity to Assyria, did this make the Assyrians blossom? In prophecy, why are all the forecasts concerning non-Israel nations always detailing them as being servants to Israel and for them to perish if they refuse this destiny? This is so right up to the end of the age. The promise to Abraham was to all nations without any exceptions. All cannot include those who are cursed and those God says he hates. Hence, all means all the nations of Israel. Throughout Scripture, Israel was to dwell alone and shall not be reckoned among the nations, Numbers 23:9. Prophecy sustains this to the end. Daniel 7:27, and the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve him. Isaiah 60:12, for the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish, yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. Zechariah 14:16-17, and it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations which come up against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the feasts of tabernacles. And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth into Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. Israel and Judah were scattered among all nations. But are these other nations to be blessed? Jeremiah does not agree. Jeremiah 30:11, though I make a full end of all nations, whither I have scattered thee, yet I will not make a full end of thee. Jeremiah repeats this in Jeremiah 46:28, addressing this to Jacob. In all these scriptures, we can see the unique place of Israel among the other nations. This continues after Jesus returns and Israel reigns with God over the other nations. Finally, there will be no more death. What a blessing. The blessing is either given to by this seed or by the act of God. The promise and thy seed in the New Testament, Acts 3:25. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Only Israelites are being addressed here. We can find references in Scripture to the families, plural, of Israel. Kindreds is patriae, which is all lexicons give as kindreds from one ancestor. The Hebrew mishpalasha supports family 288 times, and it is used of the subdivisions of Israel. The tribes become national identities, but were of one racial group from one ancestor. Israel is still an exclusive race existing as families or nations. It is unto these Jesus was sent. Acts 3:26, unto you first God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning every one of you from his iniquities. In context, you still are the Israelites being addressed. As we said, without continual recourse to the Old Testament origins, it is impossible to rightly interpret passages in the New Testament. Only by going back can we know what all nations means, and only then find a doctrine that is 100% consistent. Galatians 3:8 can no longer be allowed as an out for those preaching universal racial salvation. When we take Scripture as originally written in the Hebrew and Greek, we find that conflicts disappear. We can understand that an exclusive Israel in the Old Testament remains an exclusive Israel in the New Testament. The promises are ever fulfilled in us, their children, and never in others. They are fulfilled in brethren of the same kin. The blessings of the patriarchs, as given by Jacob in Genesis 48 and by Moses in Deuteronomy 33, for the last days still apply separately to each of that same group of peoples who are being specified. These are the sons of Joseph, Ephraim, and Manasseh. In Genesis 49, Jacob gives his prophecy about what will befall each individual tribe of Israel in the last days. These are limited, specific, and definite. We cannot find prophecy for the application of the blessings given by the patriarchs as being applicable to all other races. This is why all nations is commonly taken wrongly today as meaning every race on earth. The statement of Romans 4:11, a father of all them that believe, is only in the context of Israel. For the last days, Jacob gave his blessing to his children one by one, Genesis 49. The blessings were to his seed only. They were not to other seeds. The New Testament is still made only with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, Hebrews 8:8. The word children in Galatians 3:7, the children of Abraham, is huios, which denotes kinship or physical offspring. Note, this word is also used of animals, so it cannot refer to spiritual offspring in the way commonly taken. How can the patriarchal blessings apply to all races? If they were all the same, what would be the point of separation? And if they are all in the last days, why not accept this as a reality rather than saying that some singular multiracial church that has nothing to do with these 12 tribes is the recipient of these blessings? As it has been pointed out, translators show what they believe in their translations. For instance, in Galatians 3:8, the words translated heathen and nations are identical. The translation as heathen gives an entirely different connotation to the verse. The nations whom God would justify by belief were not heathen, but were of Israel. The proof of this is that this is the fulfillment of the prophecy made by the patriarchs. This is confirmed by him: are ye justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses? These justified people must have first been under the law of Moses, so they could only be Israelites. Most of this book of Galatians is written relating law and grace to the one people. The whole argument might be summed up by questioning whether or not they were going to remain under the schoolmaster, or whether they were going to believe God as Abraham did. What they were to believe was that Jesus had redeemed Israel, and that Jesus was the Son of God. Ultimately, that which is reserved for Israel, namely redemption, salvation, resurrection to eternal life, belongs only to Israel. It is their inheritance from Abraham, according to the promise made by God to the fathers of Israel.